Well, happy New Year to everybody. Happy New Year to all those on Facebook. Glad you're able to join us today. Let's just open with a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come and we worship you. We adore you. Father, we declare your goodness and we lift up the name of Jesus in this place today. And we declare that he is the Son of God with power and that he is coming again to this earth. And he is coming to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we worship him this day. And we invite the Holy Spirit just to have his way in this place this day for your glory, Father. Amen. Well, today, I'm not really sure if I'm just going to be chatting with you, preaching so much. But I want to talk about the days that we're now entered into. And I want us to compare what has happened in the past. Because you need to know what has happened in the past in order to be aware of what was going to happen in the days immediately coming. And there's two scriptures that stick out. One is in Matthew 13, verse 17. And it says, "For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." Again in Luke 10, 24 it says, "For I tell you, that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." Now this is Jesus when he's speaking during his ministry. And he's talked about the days in which he lived, and how that the prophets desired to see his days. They desired to hear his words, they desired to see his power, and they looked for that day. But they never lived in that day. And we are coming into days which are similar to what Jesus spoke here. There's people who have passed, the reformers, great men of God, saints through the ages, who would love to be in this day to see the power of God. And Jesus, when he sent word to John the Baptist, he said, "Tell John," and this is in Luke 7:22, "Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. To the poor the gospel is preached." If I could take you back to the day that the Lord Jesus Christ came to the River Jordan to be baptized, and I could say to you, this is the days that the scriptures has talked about. Put yourself in that place. What do we know that happened that day? Well, we know that people from the religious hierarchy in Jerusalem, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, we know that they came down to listen to John. We know that they came to find out what is going on down here at the River Jordan, that all the people are gathering to hear this man. And they weren't ignorant who John was. They might have been a bit perturbed because of his attire, because coming from the priestly line that John came from, he wasn't dressed like a normal priest. He never spoke like a normal priest. But they come down to find out what's going on. And what happens when they came? They start to question him. "Who are you? What's your authority?" And they come because they have got a preconceived idea of who should turn up and what they should say and what they should do. And John the Baptist, he said, "I am a voice crying in the wilderness." And he brings up a text that they had never thought about. He brings up a text that is not even on their radar. But also in that crowd, there was Andrew. And there was another person with Andrew. And the Bible tells us that Andrew went and sought his brother Peter. He said, "I have found the Lord." Now, isn't that amazing that here we have in the River of Jordan, John the Baptist, he proclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And you have these people questioning John, but you have an unknown man, Andrew, who becomes a disciple of Jesus, who recognizes Jesus is the Son of God. And he follows Jesus. And just think of Jesus' ministry for 3.5 years. And we'll come into maybe just in a moment or two. But there's another verse, and it's found in Hebrews 10:35. And this verse says, Cast not away therefore your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. So there's a verse here in the scripture that says, you don't cast away your confidence in God. And this is what I want to speak about just for a short time. Because how do people lose their confidence? Why do people cast away their confidence in God? I mean, we can look even today at people who at one time would have said were mainline evangelicals who believed the word of God, but now they believe and turned away to pull in extra things and to compromise the word of God. And so people have cast away their confidence in God. But we are urged not to do that. We are urged to hold fast to the word of God, no matter what we go through, no matter what we see, or no matter what time in history we're living in. We're told not to cast away. And I was thinking about people who go through these periods of history when they never see the power of God moving. But yet they remain faithful to the word of God and they don't turn to the left nor to the right. And I was thinking, they people, they've heard the word, they believe the word, they look with their eyes, because we all question ourselves at times. I can remember when I was younger, we would once a month in the church, we went to the men, we'd meet for all night prayer meetings, praying for revival. And then you look, you go through time and you say, where's the revivals? I've been praying, people have been seeking. But you see, it never changes the plans and purposes of God. We're still called to be faithful, not to cast away our confidence in God. And so sometimes people who go through these times in history, you know, they really show us how to live for God. But there comes times when there is going to be a mighty move of God. And when Jesus turned up, he was turning up in fulfillment of Scripture. And what we find in Scripture is that when you've had a long period, when you've never seen the supernatural, where you've never seen God moving, people tend to turn away and to compromise. Now, we see this in the history of Israel. In the days of Samuel, they rejected God the Father. In the days of Samuel, they wanted to be like other nations. And so they came to Samuel and said, "Samuel, we want a king. We want to be the same as everybody. We don't want to be separate. We don't want to be unique. We want to be the same as everybody else." And so the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 8 verse 7, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." And we go through these periods when we want to be like everybody else. You want to compromise so that you can compromise with one another. You want to be like everybody else But God said, "You don't. They're not rejecting you, Samuel, they're rejecting me." Mm-hmm. And it's the same in the days of Christ. In the days of Christ, what did we have? You think about it. You have the people who have got the scriptures. They've got the scriptures. The scriptures told them where the Messiah would be born. The scriptures told them when he would come on the scene. The scriptures were so clear. We've spoken many times about how the wise men came to Herod. He said, "Where is he that's born king of the Jews?" And what did Herod do? He brings in the chief priest. "Where is your Messiah to be born?" "Bethlehem of Judea." But when did you ever read about any priest going down to Bethlehem to see if a Messiah was born? You see, because we live in periods when people get stuck in a place where they have become so entrenched. And the reasons for failures can be many. But sometimes we allow things and strongholds to come into our life and to get a grip of our minds. Just like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they come to John. They have an expectation. "Are you Elijah?" "No, I'm not Elijah." "Are you that prophet who come?" "No, I'm not that prophet who come." Then they start this discussion, "And who are you then?" And we have these times, and so the whole life of Jesus, although they had truth, the Pharisees and Sadducees mix that truth with error. And what did we find constantly in the ministry of Jesus? They were putting forth their traditions before Jesus. And so what happened when they came to listen to John? He turned to him and said, "Oh, generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And we know that they never accepted the testimony of John. Because the Bible tells us in Matthew 21:32, "For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans, which are the tax collectors, and the harlots, the prostitutes, believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him." They had their traditions, they had their self-righteousness, they held on to these things. And the Bible tells us, in the days of Jesus Christ, they rejected God the Son. The Bible says, "And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas." When we come into the early period of the book of Acts, and in the book of Acts is the word of God is being demonstrated. Because you've got to get your mind around this. We have people who are in the religious hierarchy called Sadducees. They don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in bodies being raised from the dead. They're like so many philosophers now. They think when you die, that's the end of it. And we read about Lazarus. And Lazarus was raised from the dead. And there were people there who saw Lazarus raised from the dead. And instead of being worshipping God and being giving God the glory, the Bible tells us they went into Jerusalem to tell all the Pharisees and the Sadducees, "You know what's going on out there? Jesus has raised a guy from the dead." Then, a little time after that, they take Jesus, they crucify Jesus. What happens 3 days later? The tomb is opened and Jesus comes out from the dead. And they knew what Jesus spoke about because they got the guards to be in the tomb to prevent it. So they knew what Jesus was preaching during his lifetime. But they were in opposition to it, and Jesus is raised from the dead. People witnessed the resurrection. And even when Jesus was raised from the dead, think of the graves that were opened. And the Bible says The graves are open, and you have saints of old who walk through the streets of Jerusalem. You are seeing phenomenal things happening in your midst. People raised from the dead. Not just one, not just Lazarus, not just Jesus, but you've got saints of old. The graves are open, they're walking through Jerusalem. You have the poor, you have the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is poured out. The demonstration of the power of God, the healing, the miracles which are done by Jesus, they're now being done by the disciples. And the Bible tells us that they rejected God, the Holy Spirit. In the days of Stephen, they rejected God, the Holy Spirit. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have your fathers persecuted? Have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have seen that has been the betrayers and murderers. In Acts 7, verse 51 and 52. So in the history of Israel, they rejected God the Father. They rejected God the Son. And then they rejected God the Holy Spirit. And the scriptures are telling us, when Jesus is ministering, for verily I say unto you, many prophets and righteous men, they have desired to see Jesus dead. They desire to be at his feet, to hear him teaching. They desire to be there to see the miracles and healings. They desire to be there because the very presence of heaven and the very presence and glory of God would be in the land of God, and the very creator of all things walking in their midst. So they had this great desire. And we see the reaction of the people. Now tell me, do you think it's going to be any different when God's in this move of God's Spirit? Is it going to be any different in this move of God's Spirit? So what is the move of God's Spirit? Remember, in November I was preaching on standing with the prophets. We stand with the prophets because God sends his prophets to declare his word. And one of the things that the prophets declaring is the move of God's Spirit. People have been talking about it for years, but now we have come to the time of the entering in of the move of the Spirit of the living God. And what is God saying? God's saying gifts and anointings are going to be released. But they're not going to be released on anybody. Gifts and anointings get released upon those who have walked in humility before God. Those who have walked in humility before God, this is the time when gifts and anointings are going to be released to them. The move of God is going to be filled with the faith of Abraham, along with the praise of David, with the purposes of Elijah, with the favour of Job, the protection of Esther, and the revelations of John, and the boldness of Peter. All of these things together are going to be part and parcel of this next move of the Spirit of God. And what's going to happen? You're going to have churches where God is going to bypass. You're going to have people who are going to come and ask the questions, that they will never enter into the fullness of what God has. And this is why it's so important that we keep to the Word of God and we stand in the Word of God and we proclaim the Word of God and we keep our heart right with the living God. We don't compromise the Word of God because God never changes. Then the Bible has said, I am not a man that I should lie. I'm the same yesterday, today and forever. I change not. God is holy, God is righteous, and he never changes. But when he comes to move with his Spirit, those who walk in humility before him, these are the people he will release gifts and anointing to. Don't think it a strange thing that God will come and take people who are totally unknown. People who don't maybe not even expect it. In the scriptures, I think it's Amos, if I remember right. And the Bible says, I was a herdsman. I was looking after the sheep. I'm not a son of a prophet. I'm just a person looking after sheep, doing my daily job, doing everything I've always done. He said, but God came to me. And God called me to be a prophet. You see, those of you who have been walking and seeking God in humility, these are the days where God's now going to come. And you're going to have gifts and anointings released to you. And you're going to be surprised what you're going to be getting involved in. The move of God, the prophets describe it as indescribable and undefinable. Because this move of God is going to be totally different from anything that's ever happened before. And God says he is going to touch every nation simultaneously. Every nation simultaneously.
Amen.
He says nobody is going to understand or be able to confine it or to put it into a box. Things are going to shift and things are going to change. Some are going to see the Lord as a Lion of Judah. Others are going to see the Lord as the Lamb of God. One moment people are going to be seeing revival. The next moment there will be the outpouring of the Holy Spirit just like the day of Pentecost. Nothing is going to be in here or compartmentalized. God is going to do something unique and different that he's never done before. And it's going to last for a few years. And so this is the time, if you've not got yourself right with God, is the time to be right with God. Because now is the time where things are, people are getting separated, churches are getting separated. We've been through a period of time for quite some time. And you've got to look at it not from a natural perspective. What has been happening over a period of time has been the separation. Separation of those who are faithful, those who are standing in God's word, those who will not be moved by what society is doing, and those who are compromising, those who are not allowing God to move in their midst. There's been a separation. And those who have been made faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and kept their eyes upon the Lord and kept their feet walking in the path of truth and of righteousness, you can expect to see and experience the power of God. Churches are no longer going to be remaining empty. God is going to be bringing people in. And so we're in this period of time when we start to see and experience what God is doing, because we all have our imaginations, but we all know when God turns up, it's always different from what we expect. But the one thing we do know is there's always going to be those who are in opposition to the word of God. There's always those who are going to come to question, just like they did in Jesus' day. But let us not be perturbed by those who are not, we can nearly say they're unbelievers. They don't believe the word of God, they don't believe the truth of God, they don't believe the standards of God, the righteousness and his holiness. But you see, God is holy. And he never changes. He is holy. He said, I am the Lord God. I am holy. And other things which you can expect to see. See, when the holiness of God comes, at times we have extended worship in the evenings. Why do we want extended worship? We pray and we do extended worship because we're inviting the presence of God. We want the presence of God. Now, the harder you chase after and more you put in for this worship and seeking the presence of God. See, when the presence of God comes, the holiness of God comes. And see, when the holiness of God comes, that's when you end up getting manifestations and meetings. Because the demonic cannot stand the holiness of God. It's like a fire burning them. They scream out, they come into the presence of the holiness of God. Just a few days ago, I was just hearing a story. And this is a person, and they came into a particular place where the presence of God was there. And as soon as the person came in, the manifestations of the demonic. So you can expect when the holiness and the presence and the power of God fills the places where people worship, anyone coming in who needs deliverance, there's going to be a reaction. People are going to see things which are read about in the scriptures and never understood. Because these are the days of the power of God being released upon the earth. And so we don't have any more time to play games. We have to focus ourselves today on the Word of God and look to the Lord to see how the Holy Spirit is going to move in this place. And to see God's power and purposes being completed. I can tell you right now, I can remember prophetic words I've had for the best part of 20 years. And as you do with prophetic words, you remind God, you've given me these prophetic words. I'm looking to see them being fulfilled. And as I've gone over the truth of what I've been prophesied that God's going to do, I'm just catching it. This is the time for these prophetic words to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
This is the time I'm going to see all the things that you've spoken of.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's going to be the case for many people. Many people, the words of God have been spoken to, the calling of God, the gifts of God, what the ministries are going to give you. This is the time that people are going to enter into all of these things and to see all the promises of God being fulfilled. And so we want to be encouraged as we begin this new year. This year is the beginning of the move of God upon the earth. And we want to seek God's face to see things starting to happen in this part of the vineyard. But we know when God moves, we are going to see things and experience things. But above all, there's going to be salvations, and Jesus Christ is going to be glorified. And our Heavenly Father will receive glory. Because the scripture says, thereby as our Father in heaven glorified, will we bear much fruit. And if we are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, we are going to be proclaiming the Word of God and seeing people getting saved and healed and delivered. Our Father in heaven is going to be glorified. So let us this year start to focus on that which is important. There comes a time when that which has captivated us in the natural has to decrease, and we have to become more focused on what God is doing so that we are caught in the river of God and that the river of God doesn't bypass us, but we get caught in that flow and that we will see great things. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you today for the words of the prophets. We thank you, Father, for the declarations that have been made. We thank you, Father, this is now the time of the outpouring of your Spirit. And so we look to heaven, and we look to our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we look with anticipation, and we declare that our God is good, and that he saves to the uttermost. and that the power of our God breaks every chain of sin, that the power of our God delivers every person from addictions and bondages, breaks the power of Satan. And so, Father, we just declare Jesus Christ is victor. Amen.